On our plane of existence, things sure are a mess. Terrorism, wars, nuclear threats, the Middle East in turmoil. Aren't you glad there's someone in charge who lives on another plane of existence? God has not left the nations to their own devices. An unseen hand is guiding the forces of history toward his conclusion. And through Bible prophecy, we can understand the last chapter of the story. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In our current series, we're learning about God and the nations. And today, Dr. Lutzer comes to speak to us about the nations in prophecy.
I'm sure you've probably heard the story of the boy who was reading a novel in the living room when his mother said, "Come help do the dishes." But he said, "No, Mom, I can't because I'm in chapter 6. And right now, he said, the villain, this evil robber, he's got someone pinned against the wall, and I have to see how it turns out. Well, as most mothers do, she persisted, and finally, knowing he had to go, he just flipped to the back page of the book and he read it. And he said, "You know, that robber, he's doing all right in chapter 6, but is he ever in for a surprise when he gets to the last page?" Today we're going to look at the last page. You know that this has been a series of messages entitled God and the Nations. We've spoken about God's sovereignty in raising up leaders, God's sovereignty in bringing them down. We've also studied how one nation is used by God to judge another. That's all been a part of the series. And now we come to a passage of Scripture that tells us that God personally is doing the judging through Jesus Christ. It's what is called in the Bible the judgment of the nations. And what we'd like to do in the next few moments is to give you five characteristics of the judgment of the nations, or I should say five features of that judgment, and zero in particularly on the one that is most troubling to us, namely that it appears as if some people inherited eternal life because they were kind to others. And so we're going to have to unravel that particular passage with its mystery. So with that background, the passage is the 25th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus speaks about the judgment of the nations. And as we look through these features, I want you to notice that first of all, the time is at the glorious appearing of Christ. Matthew 25, verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all of the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory." We have to take a moment to give you a timeline here. When you look at all of the prophecies of the Bible, it makes most sense to put them all together, to believe that, first of all, there's going to be a rapture of the church, then a period of great tribulation that lasts about 7 years plus. And then you have the glorious appearing of Jesus to the Mount of Olives. And this is an appearing that is so beautiful that if you notice in chapter 24 of Matthew, I don't even have to flip to another page. It says in verse 30, "At that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." That's the event that is spoken of here. And then after the time of the glorious appearing of Jesus, you have what is known as the millennial kingdom, which lasts 1,000 years plus. And then after that, you have a great white throne judgment given in Revelation chapter 20. So here you have the glorious return of Jesus. That's the time of this judgment. Let's hurry on and let's go to the place of the judgment. Where does it happen? "When the Son of Man comes in His glory with all the angels with Him, He shall sit on His throne." Is this the throne of heaven? No, it says when the Son of Man comes in the throne of His glory, He's going to come to earth. The Bible says in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 1, "When He comes, His feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, which lies before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall split in two to the north and to the south, so that there shall be a very great valley. Jesus is actually coming to this earth. The people on earth shall see him. Every eye that is still able to see at that period of time, every eye of all those who are living shall see him as he returns to this planet. You see, in the Old Testament, those prophecies that were made about a glorious rule on this earth, they have never been fulfilled. Now, some people bless them. They want to spiritualize them. They want to make them into poetry. But some of us actually believe that God is going to literally fulfill them. For example, it says in Isaiah 2 that he shall judge among the nations and shall settle disputes among many different people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now, those words evidently are engraved in the United Nations in New York, but I need to tell you, in case you haven't heard it before, the United Nations will not bring that kind of peace to this earth. Sorry. Thank you for trying, but you're not going to do it. Only Jesus is going to do it. And he's actually going to rule. You say, well, where are we going to be? Well, if we're raptured, we're going to have glorified bodies. We may come with him. You'll notice that the scripture says all the angels are coming with him. In ancient days, when a king traveled to another country, the king of France or the king of England, perhaps 1,000 or more people accompanied him. Butlers, cooks, all kinds of various servants. There would be advisors, people who would be like soldiers guarding the presence of the king, what we call today the Secret Service. All of those would go with the king. And when Jesus comes to earth, what a descent it is going to be. And the Bible also talks about us coming with him at this glorious appearing when Jesus comes to this earth. That's where I believe it's going to take place. So we've looked at the time, we've looked at the place. Who are the participants? Let's pick it up in verse 32. It says, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from the other as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. The imagery is that of sheep and goats, the people like sheep and goats. Now it says all the nations, ethne in Greek, from which we get the word ethnicity or the ethnic differences. All of the ethnics, usually referred to in the New Testament as Gentiles, all of these people are going to be gathered before him. Who are they? They are ones who have survived this great tribulation. Remember, rapture, tribulation, glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. They've survived the great tribulation, and now they are going to stand for judgment. Whenever I would hear about the judgment of the nations when I was a child, I used to think that all the nations would come up before God, like Canada, like the United States, and then you'd have them go into one column or another, just like on election night here in the United States, where you have all of Illinois going Democratic, and you have all of California going you know, there was a little boy who said, Daddy, do people still tell fairy tales today? And his father said, oh, yes. And those fairy tales usually begin with, when I am elected, I will. But the judgment of the nations is not like all of the nations going in one column or another. It is an individual judgment, as you can see. All of the people, the Bible says, are gathered before him. And you have some who are sheep and you have some who are goats, and they are going to be set apart by the Lord. And they will have two separate eternal destinies. You know, you can go to Israel today if it were safe, and you could see shepherds still doing this, because sheep and goats graze together during the day, and oftentimes at night they are separated for various reasons, and the shepherd stands in front of the herd, And as it comes toward him, he takes his rod and he taps the sheep perhaps on the right, and they go to the right, and he taps the goats on the left side of their head, and they go to the left. And that's the imagery that Jesus is using for this final judgment. Who are the participants? The sheep and the goats. Another feature is the purpose of this. What is the purpose of this judgment anyway? Now we have to look at the text very specifically. In verse 34, it says these words. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. It's to determine who is going to go into this millennial kingdom over which Jesus Christ will reign. And all those who go into the millennial kingdom in this context are believers. And they're still going to have their earthly bodies. They will have to die someday and be resurrected, because the scripture does say that in the millennial period there's going to be longevity. A child shall die being 100 years old. But the total curse has not yet been lifted, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So these earthly bodies cannot live in an eternal existence. So what you have is Jesus here separating those who are wicked into one place and those who will enter into the millennial kingdom will enter into the kingdom that has been prepared since the foundation of the world. The goal is to determine who enters the kingdom over which Jesus shall rule. Well, yes, my friend, and that is a very, very important goal of Jesus Christ's words, isn't it? When you stop and think of it, Jesus told this parable, very difficult for us to understand, because he talks about those who took care of others as entering into the kingdom, almost giving the impression that we are saved by works. And I believe that I'm going to be dealing with that in the next segment of this message. So you stay tuned. But meanwhile, it's important for us to realize that God in his grace has given us the option. The decision needs to be made as to whether we are sheep or goats, and looked at from the human standpoint, we are the ones who get to decide, only because the invitation is to us. And of course, we know that we can't come to God unless the Holy Spirit of God is drawing us. So from my heart to yours today, simply this. Are you a person in whom the Holy Spirit is at work? Do you have what I like to call a sin consciousness, a recognition that you need help from God, a recognition that you've broken his laws, and so you come to Jesus to receive the forgiveness and the pardon that he offers? And when you do that, Jesus will say to you, come, my sheep, and become a part of my everlasting kingdom.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought part one of The Nations in Prophecy, the last in his six-part series on God and the Nations. On Monday, join us for more about properly interpreting this passage of Scripture. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our current series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. When you call, ask about God and the Nations. For information about many other ministry resources from Moody Church, visit our website. You'll find us at runningtowin.org. Don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners just like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for our next edition of Running to Win.